الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من جاء بالحسنة فله خير منها صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم الأمين الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved master Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said that a person who sends 50 times durood upon me daily, I will shake hand with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. Respected ulama ikram, dearest Islamic brothers, the ayah kareema which I have recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the one who brings a good deed, the one who does a good deed, the reward is better than his deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say that the reward is equal to his deed, but rather he says the reward is better than his deed. Normally, if we get a reward according to our deed, we are happy. Most of the time, workers, they complain that they're working a lot, but they are being paid less. That's a very common complaint. Recently, if you remember, there was a very big strike in our country. So many government departments went on strike. Education departments, teachers were not teaching, police, hospitals, doctors, nurses. What was their complaint? The complaint was that increase our salary. Why they wanted the increase? Because they feel we are working more and are being paid less. And if they are giving, if they are being given according to level of their work, they would then not strike, they would be happy. So in the dunya, if we do any work and we are paid according to our work, we are happy. But in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the matter is different. When you do something for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your reward is not equal to your work, but better than your work. Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu khairun min. For him, there is a better reward. We take few examples in order to understand the deeper meaning of this beautiful message. When someone works, for a boss. He employs him that your job is to stay at home, look after my house, clean the garden, make the tea. When the guests come, entertain them. Go to the marketplace, buy grocery, buy vegetable. Take the children to school, bring them back. Many functions, many tasks, many jobs. But what he gets end of the month? One salary. He does so many things, but he gets one salary. But in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the matter is different. You do one thing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divides that one thing into many pieces, into many parts, and He gives the reward of every part separately and independently. For example, Salat is one action. We count Salat as one thing. So when we talk about there are five pillars of Islam, we say one is Salat, one is Zakat, one is Hajj. So Salat is counted as one, not too many things. It's a one action. But look at the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants. When you make intention of performing Salat, you haven't done anything yet, you just made intention of performing Salat, there is a separate sawab for making intention for the Salat. So you already got a one sawab, you already got a one complete wages for doing nothing. You just made intention, you did nothing, you got the reward. Then when you leave your house in order to come to the masjid, for that walk, for that distance that you undertake in order to reach to the masjid, there is a separate sawab for that. And not just one sawab, rather there is a separate sawab for every step that you take towards the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you may have taken 20 steps, or maybe 50 steps, or maybe 100 steps, and there is a separate sawab for every step that you have taken. You haven't done the act yet. You're just preparing yourself in order to perform the salah. In order to go to the toilet and relieve yourself, is a natural need. So what favor have you done to the need in order to fulfill a natural need? But because you relieved yourself for the intention of preparation of the salat, there is a sawab for that. Then you come and you perform wuzu. You wash your hands, you wash your face, you make massage. You gargle your mouth, you make massage of your neck and ears, you wash your feet. There's a separate sawab for that. And believe me, not one sawab for the whole wuzu, separate sawab for washing hands, separate sawab for gargling your mouth, separate sawab for cleaning your nose, separate sawab for washing your face. Separate sawab for making massage on your head and neck and ears, and separate sawab for washing your feet, and separate sawab for all the duas that you read in between. Then now you are about to enter the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You come and you make a dua, you say, Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmatik. Oh Allah, open the doors of your mercy upon me.
Because you have read that dua and performed that sunnah, there is a separate sawab for you. For the entry of the masjid, there is a separate sawab for you. And when you make an intention of itikaf, there is a separate sawab for you. One action has been divided into many small, small pieces, and for every piece there is a separate wage. And then you perform your salat. And you can make another intention. Normally, in the masjid you will find those who fear Allah. That is the reason they come for salat. Because they fear Allah. So you find pious people in the masjid. Therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said that worst of the places are the market places, and the best of the places are the masjids of Allah. Why the best? Because there the ibadah of Allah is happening. The pious people are coming. So when you enter the masjid, make intention that I'm going to meet the pious people. So there is a separate sawab for that. One act. And then normally, an alim-e-deen is the imam of the masjid. You make the intention of meeting and making the ziyarah of an alim-e-deen, there is a separate sawab. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said that looking at the face of the parents, you get the sawab. Looking at Ka'batullah, you get the sawab. Looking at the face of an alim, you get the sawab. So many sawabs. And then you perform the salat. And the salat itself has so much sawab that which is beyond our measurement and beyond our calculation. Now because you entered with the intention of itikaf, all the time that you stay in the masjid, even if you do not perform any ibadat, you are in ibadat. The meter of your sawab is running all the time, all the time. So man jaa bil hasanati falahu khairun minha. The one who does a good deed, the reward is better than his act. Not equal, better. And how much better? We don't know. This all depends on the generosity of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look it from another angle. When someone works for a boss, for a company, for a factory, for a shop, the attitude of the people is to pay you less but get maximum out of you. That's the trend. They want to pay very little but they want to get a lot out of you. The people are greedy. They want to become rich on your work, on your power, on your skills, on your talent. I met a friend in UK and he came to meet me and he said he's going to Bangladesh. So I said, why are you going to Bangladesh? Why are you leaving UK and going to Bangladesh? People from Bangladesh would like to come to UK and you leaving UK and you're going to Bangladesh. So he said, no, our factory is moving from UK to Bangladesh. I said, what is the reason? He said, the reason is that the labor is cheap there. So labor is cheap there means they'll make more money and they will export the goods and sell at the same price as they were always selling. So they want to pay less but get maximum. So this is the trend. But in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the matter is different. You do little, but your reward is great. You perform salat in the masjid of your locality. The sawab is equal to 25 times or 27 times. You perform the salat in the Jami'i Masjid of your area, the sawab is 500 times. You perform the salat in Masjid al-Nabawi, that sawab is equal to 50,000 times. You perform salat in Masjid al-Haram, the sawab is equal to 100,000 times. So there is no shortage. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just finds an excuse. I mean, performing salat in the area of your masjid and performing salat in Masjid al-Haram, salat is a salat. But it is the generosity, the fadl, the mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the ummah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that on excuses, he gives so much reward that we cannot even imagine. Then sometimes, when a worker works for a boss, and he gets old, and when he gets old, he cannot work anymore. And most of the people are fired. You are an old man, you cannot do what you used to do, we don't need you, you're out. How merciless they are. This man have given his youth into your work. When he was powerful, he could do a lot, he was your worker. Today, he is an old person, he cannot put that much labor into the work as he could do before. And you say, get out! And there are very few lucky ones who might get pension after the work. Not everybody gets pension. And those who get pension, they also get so little that after getting pension, they're still asking their children, help me a little bit. We have seen that. But when you do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you get a very good pension. A young man in his youth age, he performs his salat. He performs nawafil. He does wazaif and orad. He does so much extra. When he is an elderly person, his body does not support it. He is old. His bones are gone weak. He cannot put that much labor as he could do when he was young. Maybe he can only perform farz. Not nawafil, not wazaif, not extra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the angels, O my angels, this man, this my servant, when he was young, he used to do a lot. But now he's an old person. His body does not support him. He cannot do a lot. Therefore, the little that he does, give him the sawab. Write the sawab in his account of youth age. So all the extras have been put into his account for doing nothing. That's his pension. Man jaa bil hasanati falahu khairun minha. The one who brings a good deed, the one who does a good deed, the reward is better than his deed. Not equal to his deed, not less than his deed, but better than his deed. And when you talk about better, we don't know how much better. That all, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide. But remember, this generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're talking about is based on doing something. You do something, then you get the sawab. And if you don't do, then nothing you get. So therefore we understood a very important point, that Allah Azza wa Jal is generous. He wants to reward us in abundance. But in order to receive His generosity, we have to do something for His sake. We cannot just sit back like a lazy person, do not perform our salah, do not come to the masjid, do not worry about jamaat, do not worry about the ibadat, and then we feel, no, we'll get the sabah. So, from where you will get the sabah? Therefore, the amal we have to do. The action has to be done. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his beloved daughter, Hazrat Bibi Fatima Az-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, that, oh my daughter, I don't want People are coming on the day of judgment with the good deeds, and you are coming with the family tie. I don't want that to happen. Do the action. Do the action. Do the action. And this is the culture which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has established by educating his own daughter, that don't come and tell me on the day of judgment I'm the daughter of Nabi. No, I don't want to hear that. Although being daughter of Nabi has its own excellence, but oh my daughter, amal karo, amal karo, amal karo, do the action. Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidul Shuhada, who doubts in his being Jannati? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have said, Al Hasan wal Husayn Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah. Hassan and Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhuma are the leaders of youth of Jannah. And to be a leader of youth of Jannah, you have to be a Jannati. One cannot be a leader of youth of Jannah if he is not Jannati. So indeed, he was qat'i Jannati. Categorically. Without shadow of a doubt, he was Jannati. But look at his own conduct. When he will perform wuzu, color of his face would change. As if something very severe have struck him. And he is in pain or in worries or in fears. So people would ask, O Sayyidina Imam Hussain, what happens to you when you make wuzu? Why the color of your face changes? And he replied, actually, people call me with so much respect. They call me with so much honor. People say, O Ibn Rasul, O Ibn Ali, O son of Fatima. These are the beautiful titles that they use for me when they address me. I'm honored. But I'm now about to enter into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the question is not whose son you are, where the question is, what have you brought with you? So if that thought could make Hazrat Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu afraid and scared, how scared should we be? There is no guarantee of Jannah with us. With him there was a guarantee of Jannah. And look at another personality. Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Khalifa of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, son-in-law of Hazrat Bibi Fatima Az-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if there was a Nabi after me, then that would have been Umar. So that means all the qualities that a Nabi should have were there in him. But because the door of Nabuwat was closed after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, therefore nobody can become Nabi. But if there was possibility, then Hazrat Umar should have been the Nabi. Such a great personality. And he is amongst the Ashara Mubashara, the 10 Sahaba who were given the good tidings of Jannah. He is part of them. So another Qat'i Jannati. Another Jannati with certainty. When he was attacked and his soul was about to apart from his body, Hazrat Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu came and he started praising him. He realized that that is his last time, and he started counting his virtues. He started praising him, saying beautiful words about him. So Hazrat Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala stopped Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He said, "Oh Ali, this is not the time to count the virtues and the fadail of Umar. This is the time that make dua of maghfirah for him. If all the good things that you think I have done, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return forgives me, I'm happy." Look at the mentality, the mindset, the thinking of our elders. That by being such great people, such great personalities, they feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, and they always did actions. They did not live on fantasies and on hopes. If somebody will come and do something and I'll be forgiven. No, you have to do your share. Dearest Islamic brothers, this is the message of Dawat-e-Islami. Dawat-e-Islami is a movement that is working throughout the world. The message of Dawat-e-Islami has gone into 66 countries throughout the world. And alhamdulillah, the millions of people are now affiliated with Dawat-e-Islam. The Muslims must become practical Muslims. We need to fill our masajid. We need to form a habit of performing our salat with the jama'at. We need to take responsibility of ordering good and prohibiting evil. Sometimes we take life very easy. And when an alim is talking to the audience, everyone feels the talk is not for me. I'm excluded. Maybe it is for somebody else. So the doors of nasiha are closed. We don't bother, we're too busy in the worldly matters. As Hazrat was saying in his speech, what have we done for our deen? Today, there is a culture that tells us, mind your own business. But this culture that tells you, mind your own business, is a foreign culture. It has got nothing to do with the teachings of Islam. The Islam teaches us, mind the business of your brothers. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said that you cannot be a true believer if you don't like for your brother what you like for yourself. So if your brother is a gambler, you need to mind his business. If your brother does not perform salat, you need to mind his business. If your brother is an open sinner, and he violates the fundamental and apparent laws of Islam, you need to mind his business. If he's a gambler, you have to go and tell him that stop, because this is taking you to the path of Jahannam. It is mentioned in the hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a person would launch a complaint in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, and he would say, "Ya Allah, my neighbor was dishonest with me." His neighbor would be called. "Were you dishonest with me?" He'll say, "Ya Allah, I don't remember being dishonest with him. I never harmed his family life. I never harmed his wealth. So how can he say that I was dishonest with him?" He'll say, "Ya Allah, I testify what he is saying, that he never harmed me in my family matters and in my wealth. But he harmed me in something which was more serious than that. What was that? Ya Allah, when I did something wrong, he saw me. And it was in his knowledge, and he did not stop me. That was the dishonesty that he performed with me. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would put that neighbor in Jahannam. That you saw your neighbor doing all these things and you were keeping quiet.
You didn't go and did Amr bil Ma'ruf. You didn't go and order him the goodness. You did not stop him from evil. Because of that, you go to Jahannam. Today we want to be Mr. Good, Mr. Nice in everybody's book. So the Nahi Anil Munkar has been stopped. We feel if we tell him don't do this, he'll turn against me, he'll become my enemy. He won't like me anymore. So because of that fear, we don't open our mouth. So we need to establish that culture again, where each and every Muslim is reminding to each other that we are Muslims, and whatever we say and whatever we do, it is recorded and there is accountability on the day of judgment. We cannot just get away. Everything that we say, we do, is recorded. The accountants of the dunya can make mistakes. The programs of your computers can be corrupted. And you can have errors and mistakes in that. But the accountants appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are perfect and would never make a mistake. So whatever you say, whatever you do, is recorded. And then the person is told on the day of judgment, read your own book. In the dunya we want to become very honorable, very respected. We might do a lot of wrong things, but we come up in front of the people as very holy, very pious. Allah knows what we are. But on that day, Iqra, Iqra kitabaka, kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. Read your book. Read your book of deeds. Today you don't need a translator. You yourself, you are good enough to read your book. Whether you are an ignorant person in the dunya, you are illiterate, it doesn't matter. On that day, everybody would have the capability to read. Then what's going to happen? Then person is in sorrow, in regret, and he says, Ya waylatana, ma li hadhal kitab, la yugadiru saghira, wa la yugadiru kabira. Hi, hi, hi. What happened to my book? I thought angels are not writing. I thought something they will miss out. But nothing is missed out. Everything is there. No kabira, no saghira. Nothing they have left. So today people are very easy. They say kabira, kabira is a big sin. Avoid that. But saghira, don't worry about it. It's small. But small or big, sin is a sin. In fact, kabira becomes kabira. Actually, saghira becomes kabira when you think it's a saghira. A small sin becomes big sin when you think it's a small sin. So therefore, our elders would take everything very seriously. Even if there was a small sin, they will take it as a big sin. Because a small piece of fire can burn the whole house. So you won't leave if there is a small piece of fire thinking it's small. You will kill it immediately. Why? Because you know that the small can become big. So if the sin is small, don't ever think it's small. And sometimes a small neki, small good deed can become so big that maybe that can become a cause of your salvation on the day of judgment. Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, on the day of judgment when people go to him for help, he'll say, go to somebody else. Because I made an apparent mistake, which was not in reality a mistake. An apparent. And it was forgiven. An apparent mistake plus forgiven.
When someone is forgiven, it's erased, it's not there anymore. But he is worried about that. How many good things he must have done in his life? Except that one apparent mistake, how many good things that he have done in the life? Millions, millions. And he's not counting them. He's not counting them. He has forgotten. But one which was apparently a mistake and has been forgiven as well, he is remembering that. So this is the mindset that the ummah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam should have. And alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is working on that aspect of the ummah, which is character building. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been sent for that purpose. As our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said, "Bu'istu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq." I have been sent to complete the incomplete character of humanity. So where we were incomplete, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he completed that. So if the purpose of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come in the dunya was to build the character, then this is the sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to work in the ummah to build the character. And alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are blessed, really blessed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given us this movement in this age and time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given us a program that we can follow, which works throughout the world, and it's working throughout the world. Alhamdulillah, ulama ikram are doing great service. They are educating and preparing ulama. We need great, good, pious, educated ulama that who can come back to the community and lead the community, not to be led, but lead the community. We need leaders. And alhamdulillah, ulama ikram are doing that work. But at a ordinary people's level, we needed something very forceful and very strong. And alhamdulillah, in this age and time, Allah gave us Dawat Islam. And Allah has given so much barakat that in very little time, the Dawat Islami is gone throughout the world. The work is now happening in 66 countries. And it's the work is so unique. There's so much love and muhabbah. And you would only know if you become part of it. Dawat Islami has qafilas that travel from place to place, city to city. It's a mobile madrasa. Qafila is a mobile school, mobile madrasa. Dini madrasa, believe me, there are so many people who are grown up, elderly, but don't know basics. When would they go and learn? Because at that age, when your beard is grey, no school would accept you, no madrasa will accept you, no Darul Uloom will accept you. You go to the Darul Uloom, you go to madrasa, they'll say, well, your age does not fit. They have a policy that they follow. So where is a chance for you as a grown up Muslim? When would you learn how to perform wuzu properly, how to perform istinja properly, how to perform ghusl properly, how to make sajda properly? Most of the people who are punctual with the salat do not even know how to perform sajda properly. It's a fact. There are so many people that are educated, have degrees, have big jobs. When they travel with us and when they leave, they say, thank you very much. We thought we knew, but today we realize that we didn't know basics. So do not deprive yourself. Become part of Dawat Islami. Nafs will tell you, shaitan will tell you, don't join. What you going to learn from this week? Oh, you sitting in the company of big people. Tumhe to sab aata hai. Why you want to be there? That's the call of the shaitan and the nafs. It stops you. So we cannot allow ourselves to be defeated by our enemies. We need to say no to them and go and get the goodness wherever it is.